Quote, "That is why it seems to me to deal here first with the eminent painter Octavius van Veen," wrote Karel van Mander, 1604.
This sentence was written more than 400 years ago when, in 1604, Karel van Mander wrote the Schilderbuch, or Book of Painters, the very first artist biography in the Low Countries. Like him, we will first treat Rubens' best teacher, Otto van Veen. Our great masters of the Baroque may have been an artistic gift from heaven, but they did not come out of the blue. They'd had teachers who were able to pass on long tradition of craft and techniques. Above all, Rubens, Van Dyck, and Jordaens were innovators, depicting new subjects and themes and giving intellectual content to their works. And, with their portrait painting, they were able to tap into a new public. In this church, we'll find out two things: how a painting is prepared and how one work can inspire another. The patron saint is Andrew, and so he should hang here. You'd expect a painting with such a subject to be placed on the main altar, but here it's been relegated to the side wall of the choir. Andrew, who was also the patron saint of the Burgundians, the forefathers of the Habsburg sovereigns, drew extra attention at the time of the Counter-Reformation. In 1594, Otto van Veen received the commission for this painting, which he completed at the latest in 1599. At that time, young Rubens worked in his studio. Van Veen had got the contract based on a so-called modello. This church is very fortunate to have acquired that modello. In fact, it hangs in the treasury. You can interpret fortunate literally here. The large painting has been glued, painted over, and reframed so badly that it has deteriorated in quality. It is now in the shadow of the modello. Because that work provides a much clearer light, the vivid details and the colours are shown off to better effect. The foreground is a large-scale scene, the lower part of which is composed as a clear triangle. The massive audience in the background and the antique decor is meant to suggest Patras in Greece. Keep this in your memory for a moment. There is the full light on the face of the apostle, still preaching while looking up to heaven. Then there are the athletic executioners, the proconsul on horseback and his wife, converted to Christianity, with their children. She looks at us. And then there is the little dog. When standing face to face with Rubens' famous raising of the cross in the Cathedral of Our Lady, you will notice striking similarities. In the Low Countries, and Antwerp in particular, the exuberant Baroque remained a familiar style for expressing emotion until the middle of the 19th century. The pulpit in this St. Andrew's Church bears witness to that, depicting the calling of Andrew and Peter. But before that, let us look at the masterpiece of Baroque sculpture, St. Peter, by artist Quellinus I, the Elder. From his body language, you can read both the inner strength and the struggle of the apostle, who denied his master Jesus even before the cock crowed. Look at the hands clenching the wood of the cross, the tension of his face, the depiction of the finer fabric of the robe and the thicker cloak further enhance the character's anatomy. In three dimensions, the sculpture has the spatial design of his material at his disposal to convince us that here, in front of us, stands a genuine human being, one big chunk of restrained emotion.